So today we're talking about a very interesting topic with a good friend of mine, Ryan Brook from Scrum Lake. The subject is Scrum Master, Born versus Made. Now, typically we don't talk about on this show any particular methodology, even though I know Scrum comes up quite a bit because it's the most popular agile way out there. But this topic came about a very interesting way. It came about on LinkedIn. Ryan made a post that he had a conversation with a colleague of his, and it led to this post, and it garnered thousands and thousands. I believe it's 7,000-8,000 comments about it. Pretty controversial. So we're discussing this topic on this episode. And it's sure to generate lots of controversy. And the conclusion we came up with at the end, Ryan and I, as we talked through it, is pretty interesting. I think you'll find it interesting too. Join us as we explore this episode of whether a Scrum Master is born versus made on this episode of The Agile Within.
Welcome to the podcast that challenges you from the inside. Come be more and discover the agile within. And now here's your host, Greg Miller.
Okay, welcome to another episode of The Agile Within. So today is a little bit different episode. We're still dealing with behaviors mindset, obviously, and the topic for this episode actually came from LinkedIn, if I'm being transparent. There's a friend of mine on LinkedIn who sent a message out and got a lot of response, got a lot of interesting response. It was mainly around, do people think that Scrum Masters were born or they're made? So that's the topic of today's episode. And the guest who made that post is on today with us. His name is Ryan Brook, and he is a PSM3, PSPO, actually a Scrum professional Scrum trainer candidate. He teaches Scrum. He is one of the two people who are doing Scrum Lake. If many people have been on LinkedIn, the Scrum Lake is becoming very popular. So we want to welcome Ryan to the show. Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you, Greg. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So this topic of, I weighed in on LinkedIn and reached out to you and said, hey, this is a very interesting topic. It's something that's right down my wheelhouse for the show. So you posted the question out there and you got tremendous response.
Correct?
Yeah. How many people?
It was completely unprecedented. Yeah. I wasn't expecting it at all. It was a short question that was off the back of a conversation I had with someone at work. And yeah, like you said, you waded in, lots of people waded in, and it just blew up. It was incredible.
Yeah. How many responses do you think, or views, how many people actually viewed it? Let's start with that.
Oh, I think it was, well over 7,500, I think. But I think it's the first post I've ever out there that has had more comments than it has likes.
Is that right?
Yeah. It was really.
That's awesome. So it came from somebody but it came from a conversation from somebody at work. How did that conversation come about?
That's right. Yeah, we were basically talking about what is the difference between a good and a great Scrum Master. And we were basically talking around whether people fell into the role, whether they were, you know, a lot of organizations typically say things like, oh, hey, we don't have a Scrum Master, so Mr. Tech Lead, you're going to take on the role of Scrum Master. And whilst these people could be absolutely, you know, they could be good at the Scrum Master role, we talked about what defines good versus great, and actually whether or not there are some skills that certain people are born with, you know, they have that natural talent, or whether those skills can be developed over a period of experience as a Scrum Master. And yeah, we basically, well, I just put it out there because I had an opinion. I didn't want to kind of load the question. And yeah, it was really interesting. A lot of people disagreed with me, but hey, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you and I seem to have the same opinion, and not that that's why, excuse me, I invited you on the show, but different opinions would be fine, but we did seem to have the same opinion. I weighed in. My opinion said, personally, for me, I believe that I was born to be in a role like this. Now, when I first, so I've been in Scrum for 10 years and have been in the Scrum Master role for about half of that time. It started off as QA, BA. And when I first went in to QA, I didn't know we were in Scrum until someone said we were Scrum. I had no idea what it was, and I had to learn about
it. Yeah.
But yeah. Someone said we're agile. I was like, what does that mean? If I look back, we were doing stand up, the daily Scrum, starting to kind of do retro. We weren't really officially on team, so we were kind of Scrum budding it, right? And then as I got more into it, I really liked it. And it was more the process. I had no clue about the values side of Scrum and Agile and the Agile Manifesto. I had no clue that existed. Moved into a BA role and was like, yeah, I like this. I knew the BA role. When I found it, like, yeah, that's me. I want to do that. I loved writing user stories. I loved talking to the business, getting requirements. I knew I wanted to do this for a while. And then I started getting more experience, getting certifications, and then I started getting into Scrum and actually got trained in Scrum when professional Scrum Foundations, PSM1, and just recently got my PSM2. And I remember, I don't remember the exact day, but I remember how it happened. I had like an epiphany. All along the way, these little light bulbs were going on for me, going, oh, yeah, I get it. And when I put the values of the manifesto and the Scrum values together, then it just like all clicked. And I said, yeah, this is for me. This is me. This is like, I'm talking to myself. I'm reading about myself saying, oh yeah, you have to be a servant leader. And cause I've never been heavy handed. I've hated being in environments where it's command and control. I was in management and I was never like that. I was never command and control. I fought against that. I always consider myself to be, there's a baseball term, like a player's coach we use over here in the US. Meaning like I consider myself to be on the side of the people that report to me rather than management. I sided more with them. And as I looked into Agile and realized, you know, respect, commitment, yeah, that's me. I have all that. So it took me a while to find that, but I think that I was born to do it.
It's I think I'm in a similar position to you. So for me, I didn't start out as a Scrum Master. I was a teacher in a secondary school in the UK, and I had the absolute pleasure of working with some trainee teachers, some people who were just starting out their career, and it was my job to kind of help mold them into what they wanted to become. And myself and my colleagues who were kind of in that role, you could tell very quickly whether those people had the mindset, the kind of natural talent for the role. You could tell if they were going to be great teachers because of the soft skills that you could pick up really quickly. And I think that's the same with Scrum Masters. When I talk to you, when I talk to other Scrum Master colleagues, we all have a similar outlook, a similar mindset. Mm-hmm. So I guess, yeah, were we all born the same, or did we all have we all had similar experiences which has crafted us, and therefore are we made? I'm not so sure. I think we potentially all have some sort of neurological starting point that makes us better to be great Scrum Masters, or at least I hope. That's probably an arrogant thing to say, but I think I'm quite good at my job. There are some skills I need to work on, but do I think I have the right starting point? I like to think so.
Yeah, and it's like you and John and I, John Albrecht, for those listening, John and Ryan do the Scrum League, so I mentioned that earlier. So you and John and I were talking the other week about Scrum League, and I had brought up, touching on this, that if I'm honest with everybody listening, because of what we're talking about here, because I feel it comes so natural to me, that obviously I'm in an agile environment every single day in Scrum, but when I encounter people either on a team that I'm the Scrum Master for or in the business, when I encounter people who struggle grasping these concepts, for example, collaboration or open communication or respect, you know, just simple things like that, that I think are simple, are really big deals to them. And I try to work with them, and I try to get them to understand it. And I'm sure you come across, maybe, you know, more often than we think, but usually in every environment, there's a couple people that, you know, a tough nut to crack. They just are not getting it. You can spin it 5,000 different ways to them, and they just don't get it. And you're like, this person's never going to get it. And it's, to your point, it could be the way they're wired. They're never going to be a Scrum Master. They don't want to be. That's fine. But you opened the show saying that sometimes people are just say, hey, yeah, we'll put you into the Scrum Master role because for whatever reason, we think you'd make a great fit, or we need somebody here. We need somebody to throw this project manager into it. I've seen that happen before. And at a company I was with, they took all the project managers and made them Scrum Masters, and it was a disaster because they can follow a process, but they don't have these soft skills you mentioned. So, I definitely think that in any profession, I mean, I could never be a great baseball player or a great football player, or, you know, soccer player over, or in England, it's soccer or football, right? Over here, it's soccer or American football. I'm not good at that, right? I'm not good at that. You might be better than me or not, but I would never expect someone to throw me out on a football field and say, hey, play in the Super Bowl this weekend. I don't know what I'm doing.
So do you think, though, that, say, for me, when I try and coach my teams on Scrum values, if we're relating Scrum values to soft skills, which is, I think, a reasonable thing to do. Do you think if I coached you for, what's the number? Is it 10,000 hours to make you a professional? Do you think if I coached you for 10,000 hours on soccer, do you think you would you be great?
No, probably not great. I don't think I would call you can put me, I've heard that too, 10,000 hours, for, to become professional, like guitar or something like that. I've heard that. Yeah. Like, no, because if I wasn't born with, you know, people can run faster than other people, right? I was in track and I thought I could run fast. People in my little world told me I could run fast till I actually got on a track team and ran against other schools, and these kids blew past me. So I wasn't fast at all. So if you took me, I would have had to have been born with enough ability to get great. Like, my son plays basketball, and I've heard people say, you know, how do you know when, a young person coming up is going to be on the track to be in the NBA. And I've heard people say, well, when they're in the seventh or eighth grade, you should be able to tell by that. When they're in the seventh and eighth grade, they should have this ability that shows them, oh yeah, they're going to be great. But then I've seen sometimes it be latent, but I think, and people develop later, but would I be great? I could put in the 10,000 hours. And I don't, you know, Ronaldo puts in the 10,000 hours or, who's your big player on the English team now? What's the English national team?
Oh, there's so many. I mean, I picked Marcus Rashford from Manchester United football, but that's not really a reference that I think your American listeners would land.
They wouldn't know that. But someone like that, I mean, who probably put in that in the beginning and way more than that, but he was probably born with, he's probably faster than me. He's quicker. He can jump higher than me. I don't have that ability. You could teach me 10. I could probably maybe be good. I might be able to sit the bench on a team, but if I put in that work, there's something to be said for work too and dedication. But I think most professions, forget about Scrum Master, most professions, I think people are drawn to it because of their natural ability and their inclination to succeed, and they just enjoy it. I just enjoy being a Scrum Master too.
You want a job that you absolutely love doing, and I think we do that because we have a. You want to do a job that you're good at. No one wants to do a job that they're not. And I think you're right. When you feel that job, you feel that fit, the thing that you were born to do, it's a great feeling. And having some of those soft skills, having that starting point is a really great place to learn from. I don't think that, like you said, with a soccer player, even if you absolutely loved it, there is a limit to how good you can get. You need to have a natural starting point. And sadly, I think some people just don't have it to be a Scrum Master. And I think that's okay. You know, I've worked with developers who are not, you know, they are never going to be the most amazing Scrum Master because they've been pushed into the role. What they want to do is have their head in code. And that's okay. We all have different skills. We all have different soft skills. And is it my right as a Scrum Master to try and teach you those skills? Because are all soft skills teachable? I think that's an interesting question. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a great question.
The reason I asked it as well, because in the post that you mentioned at the start, I mentioned a couple of skills, things like empathy, things like respect. Mm-hmm. And actually, one of the really, really interesting comments was that I've always considered empathy to be something that is a skill that you either have or you don't. It's one of my weaker skills. I know that. But one of my friends, one of PST's, Sahin, he said that, and he posted a really great article about how empathy is a mutable skill. It's something that they believe that you can teach and that you can not just get better at it, but that you can learn it. And I thought that was really interesting, using the word learn in the article, implying that you don't have it and then you can, which is, yeah, it was super interesting to me.
So my first reaction, now that you've given me a couple minutes to think it through, I still think I'm going with my first reaction, which is, if you talk about empathy and things like that, I would say, again, teachable learning to an extent. Something like empathy, I think, is a big one. It's, I would tend to think you either have it or you don't, born with it. Can you get better at it? Yeah. Back to your soccer analogy, if you put in 10,000 hours of trying to get more empathetic, yeah, you will improve. There's no doubt you will improve, right? But will you get to the level of someone that's born with empathy and it comes really easy to them, because their natural instinct, if you're born with a lot of empathy, is to be empathetic if you weren't born with a lot of it, but you've learned it. It depends on whether that natural instinct remains with you or not. This is fascinating. Yeah. The soft skill.
It's tough, right?
It is.
And you know what? I'm relating it back to one of my experiences as well, that when I was younger, before I became a teacher, I worked with special needs kids. They were autistic. They were amazing, absolute best job in the world. But one of the things with autism, and I'm oversimplifying something massively here, is that you can, in terms of social cues, it's something that they struggle to learn. But you can teach an autistic child how to respond to social cues. If you see someone crying, you say, "They're there, I'll give you a hug." But is there a difference between knowing a social cue? Like, for example, if I heard something, you know, horrible in your life, Greg, I know I could to be empathetic because I know that's a bad thing that's happened to you. But is it an embedded skill inside me? I think those are two different things. I can learn what empathy is and how an empathetic person should be, but am I living, to use the phrase, living the Scrum values? Am I living empathy? I know that's not one of the values, but I think there's two different things there: learning a response and being or living that skill. I think that they're two different things.
That's exactly what I'm. That you said it. That's exactly what I was getting toward. You said what I was thinking. Yes.
So do you think that in terms of the Scrum value, is it my right to teach you courage, respect? Can I? Does my respect and my courage look different to what you think those are? Am I biased when I try and teach you those skills? So therefore, do all Scrum teams live these five values differently because of the bias of the coach?
Yes, probably. Yes. Yeah, bias is a good word. I did an episode on the podcast last year, and we kind of touched on this. It was called Awareness to Act. So kind of in a nutshell, talked about bias, leave your biases behind and have a clean take. Like, you're in daily Scrum and you know, you're going along and somebody is on their phone and you come around to them, it's their turn. And they just give this, say, curt answer and move on. And they have a scowl on their face and you think that maybe they were rude to you or it was something you did because you felt you got a certain reaction from them. But this was trying to say, leave your bias out of it, which you just talked about. It maybe has nothing to do with you. And then in this example was, okay, come to find out, you talked to this person. Oh, this person was on the cell phone because, you know, his dad just died or something bad just happened, like you said. So he had a scowl on his face and he wasn't paying attention in daily Scrum because when it got to his turn, he just kind of blew you off because he was upset. Oh. But you're right. You use your bias and say, oh, he scowled at me and wasn't paying attention and looking at his phone and he wasn't engaged. You thought it was something completely different. So yeah, different teams are different. But can you, I don't think the way you teach respect to another team, I mean, it's fair to try to ask them. But you're trying to ask them to be respectful at a level that you think they should be, right? It is your bias, right? You're okay, I want to teach you to be respectful. They think they are, but you're saying, no, you're not. That's kind of what you're getting at, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I tend not to use, when I'm talking about values, I think teach is perhaps the wrong word. I think that almost speaks from a perspective of, I know better than you. Whereas I think coaching is a much more, it's a more together journey. And actually when I talk values to Scrum teams, actually what I'm trying to do is identify their position, identify my position. And actually, it's not talking about the actions to get there necessarily. It's talking about the picture and what we want to look like. So the values for me and the soft skills that we're kind of talking about as a Scrum Master are actually a collective. You know, talking about one individual one, you know, having one value without the other four is, I think, is it has limited value. You need all five, and you need to be well-rounded people to truly live those values and move them forward. Like, they grow together.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I did a, I have a, again, another show coming out. I'm doing a series on the values, and it never really, actually, I learned a lot. It never really occurred to me. There's that, I had a Scrum trainer on, and he's saying that respect, and you tell me if you agree with this, you're on the path to becoming a trainer, that he thought that respect, courage, and openness tied very well together, and then focus and commitment were tied very well together. Is that something you would agree with?
Yes, I think so. I think there are certain values that link together. I tend to describe the five Scrum values is like a gloved hand, that actually you need all of them. They all interlock together. And like you said, focus and commitment go together because, well, hey, you know, it's obvious you need to be able to focus on your commitment. But when you're linking the other three together, I guess the only part of that statement I don't agree with, it tends to separate the three and the two.
Yeah, sure.
I see them all as fully interlocking. I know that's probably simplifying what the statement was, but yeah, that's the only thing I would say. I think they all link together rather than having three that do and two.
Yeah, I kind of noticed that too. I think he was just trying to help me see how he thinks they relate well together like that, but you're right, they're all together. So let's get back to... What was obviously don't name names and you probably can't remember anyway, but what on the people that said, you said it was a mixed reaction on this post. The people that said that Scrum Masters were made, what were some of the comments you found interesting on that side?
I think some of the really interesting ones were that, that the human brain is effectively built through layers of experience. And that kind of what we were saying earlier, that you can get better at soft skills. You can improve your communication via technique, for example. So a lot of people were saying that actually by having experiences, by iterating on your technique, by working with teams and having different experiences, that you grow to become a better Scrum Master, your value proposition improves. So that was a really interesting one. Another one was that actually that there is a difference between a good and a great Scrum Master. And the difference between a good and a great one was that a good Scrum Master can, you know, do the 3-5-3. They get the process. They get why you're doing things. But a great one got values, understood the ecosystem, and that Scrum is systemic, that it is a collective. You need, I mean, hey, I'm quoting the guide here, or paraphrasing it at least, that you need, you know, you can't take bits out of the Scrum guide. If you do, you're not doing Scrum.
Yeah.
You need all of it. Mm-hmm. And that was the difference between good and great. It was the soft skills and the systemic thinking that really got me thinking.
I think I agree that you can get better, but to what extent? I mean, you can get better in anything if you practice. I believe you can get better, but it's the degree of. The degree to how much can you get better. If you have someone that doesn't get the soft skills and that gets better, but still kind of struggles, I think the team will reflect that, because I think, you know, if we're a servant leader, the team will reflect the extent to which the Scrum Master can help coach those values. So if there's someone on the team
I think if I went back to rephrase the question, so I said, are Scrum Masters born or made? And I think what I would change it to now is, are great Scrum Masters born and made? Because I do truly believe that you can take anyone who wants to do it, I should say that, and you can make them a good Scrum Master. You can coach them. You can teach them to be a Scrum Master, the value of all of the events, the artifacts, the three pillars. But I, like we've said before, is there something that they need that is natural to them that could just take them that bit further that makes them great? And I think there is. I think there is something that we all share inside us that makes us great Scrum Masters.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you can teach someone, how to get better, but the risk of sounding arrogant, like you said, not arrogance, but you know what you're good at, right? I know what I'm good at. I found it.
Yeah.
It clicked. So yeah, this is me. This is it. It's what I want to do. It's what I have to do almost. It's not really what I want to do. I'm not drawn to it for money. I'm drawn to it because even when I was a manager, not in Scrum, before I got into it, I had this innate desire to the people that were on my team that were struggling. I didn't just want to fire them and get rid of them. I wanted to really help them. So I would do one-on-ones with them. And it wasn't for me. It wasn't for my glory. I really enjoyed turning people around that maybe were doing poorly on their job and helping them get better, just because I enjoyed it. And I realized that I really liked teaching. So now in the past, I was teaching Scrum, not for certification like you do, but teaching Scrum and Kanban classes at a job that I had, and I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. So I was good at it. People said I was good at it. I enjoyed it. And that's where I gravitated. So if you were to throw someone in and say, hey, do this, we've all seen that in a lot of companies before, you know, I tend to think sometimes, you know, some people get promoted for the wrong reasons, right? How are you a manager, right? How are you an executive? And it turns out they want to be there because they want the money. Yeah. Power, money, glory, all that stuff, right? That's why they want to be there. It's not because they're necessarily good at it. They want it. So they go for it. But yeah, no, this is definitely a very interesting topic. Yeah.
I think that when you're talking about managers and people who are there, I think fundamentally, I think everyone, you're right. I think it isn't about the money, but I do think people want to be doing things that they are good at. You know, when you go to college, when you go to university, you don't pick the subject to study that you feel like you should. You pick the one because you want to get, you know, you want to get a first. You want to get a great university degree. And I think you need to be born with that mindset. I think that's what it comes down to with Scrum Masters. There's a mindset that we share. And without it, I think there's a barrier to entry.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a barrier. Yeah. So I went to college. I was actually in liberal arts. I was not in IT. And I remember when I first started, I enjoy reading and writing a lot. So I think from that, and I went to college for that, communications and writing. And so you talked about empathy. I think I used to write poems and short stories. And I think if I look back on it and try to analyze it, I think I have that natural empathy because, not to get too far, but off topic, but you know, if you've ever tried to write stories or poems or thinking and you're developing characters, you kind of have that empathy for characters that you're writing, I realize I have an empathy. I have a soft spot in my heart for older people. You know, people that are, and maybe they're in poor health. I've visited nursing homes and sympathy, and I think and that has developed an empathy for me. I have empathy for those people if I see people hurting and in need, and have a soft spot for homeless people. And I don't know why. I don't know where it came from. I never had an experience going through that. I was never homeless, right? And I don't know where that came from. So other people may not have that. I didn't have to do anything to develop it. It was just there. So like you said, I don't have to, I mean, can I get better? Yeah, I can, if I work on it, yes, I can get better at it. But with someone who doesn't have that, again, to risk sounding arrogant, ever have the level of empathy that I have for those type of people, maybe.
It's very hard to talk about this topic, isn't it, without thinking in an arrogant yeah. way.
It is.
You know, we both consider ourselves to be good, and I'm imagining most people that listen to this consider themselves to be great at Agile, and I think that's okay. I think we need to recognize that there are things in our minds that we are good at, and equally there are some things that if we played this podcast to other people, they'd think, you know what, I'm not a great Scrum Master. But that's okay. We all have different things that we're great at and things that mm-hmm. we're not so good at. That's the great part of being a human. I've got a very young child. I've got a little boy. He's just turned 2. My job, or I consider it my job, is to teach him these soft skills. You know, I can't say I'm coaching him on them. You know, I try and teach him to be a good communicator, to be empathetic. But at the end of the day, you have to have a desire to improve them. So the question that I initially posted, whether Scrum Masters are born or made, was purposefully mean. It's not a binary question, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It comes from, I do believe like a rubber band ball, that you have that core, you have the center. That's the natural mindset that we are all born with. But through life and through experience and through visiting nursing homes, like you said, we slowly add those rubber bands, and we are a construct of our experience. And when we go from one experience to another, we do improve those skills. And sometimes we make them worse, but we iterate and we hopefully improve.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, what you said. Yeah, for those listening, you know, I'm not by any means saying you have to be, if you're not a great Scrum Master, then give it up, forget it. You have to be great. No, there's plenty of professions out there. Actually, you probably shouldn't compare yourself to other people. That would not be the right thing to do, honestly. Everybody has different levels. I think the objective of this podcast is just to say, hey, we all have things we're good at, things we're not so good at. We can get better to an extent, but at the end of the day, some people are just going to be naturally better at some things than other people. And you really want to try to make sure you're picking the right career profession that fits your personality, your strengths. Everyone has strengths or weaknesses, right? If you want to be a Scrum Master, you really want to be it, but you struggle at it, maybe it isn't for you. Maybe some other role in Agile is better for you. Maybe you're a better developer, like Ryan said. If you like to sit at a computer all day and do code, that would drive me crazy. I know I would not be good at that. I cannot sit. I've sat with developers obviously many times and looked at this. It's like looking at the Matrix, right? All this code for me, I'm just like, oh gosh, how do you do that? And they love it. You know, they hate to go to meetings, right? You know, as a Scrum Master, they hate to be called to meetings and stuff. And for me, I love to talk to people. That's why I do this. I love to interact and pick people's brains and all that good stuff. I could never be a developer, but find what's good for you.
We all have our personal, you know, our personal preferences, don't we? I mean, like I said, going back to when I was a teacher, if you ask any teacher, when we're talking about either primary or secondary age students, for me as a secondary school teacher, my response is, oh my God, I couldn't work with young children. I just couldn't do it. That's just not my mindset. But if you ask some people who are primary school teachers, they say, oh no, I couldn't work with older students. You get the talk back, the swearing, the poor behavior. We all have things that we just, we have a mindset and it suits certain things and certain people. I was a developer for a year and I was okay, but I certainly wasn't amazing. And I think that's kind of what helped me gravitate to be a Scrum Master. We identify things that we're good at and maybe move towards those things because we want to be good at what we do.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the takeaway from here is find what you love. Hopefully you can marry what you're good at and what you love, right? I think Ryan and I have been fortunate to find Scrum and being a Scrum Master, and Ryan's becoming a Scrum trainer, and maybe someday I'll be that, but maybe I won't. Maybe I won't be able to get that far, but I think the three is on my list this year.
I'm a trainer.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do, and you're going through that. You'll get it. I'm sure you'll get it. Yeah, I know you. I think I know you just enough to know that you know your stuff. So, yeah. So, Ryan, thanks very much for taking some time to talk with us today. So, we have been talking about with Ryan Brook, who is a professional, soon to be professional Scrum trainer. He's a PSM 3, PSSPO 3, long time in Agile, about whether you're born a Scrum Master or whether you're made. And we thank you for your time. So this has been another episode of The Agile Within. Please reach out to me, Greg Miller at theagilewithin.com. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can reach me any of those places with questions, comments, suggestions. I really appreciate it. So we will talk to you later. And this is The Agile Within, where we help you to be more agile.